always a great way to end the workday. A little Huey Lewis in the news. It's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. Of course, you're connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Coming up this hour, our high school football picks of the week comes up in just minutes. Also, Dylan Sin, Tommy Schegler. We are jam-packed up until 6 o'clock, and then we'll turn it over to Justin Kenny with the High School Football Coaches Show. Of course, tomorrow starts sectional play. We will be up at East Noble for the Leo Lions and the East Noble Knights. We'll start it with our Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show at 6, and then at 7, play-by-play coverage of Leo East Noble. After the game, join us at the Kendallville Pizza Hut for the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show. Scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, and more coming up tomorrow. It's another big Friday leading you into your sports weekend with high school football on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Indiana, you know, they should hate having that start time at night against Ohio State. I started to think about the fact that, boy, it's nice for Indiana to get the national coverage. But if Indiana is going to pull the upset, the worst possible time to do it is probably at night. Because the best way for Indiana to beat Ohio State is to play when Ohio State might be a little flat, might not be quite as focused. That noon kickoff time, sometime early in the day without the national audience. You take star athletes like Ohio State recruits, you put them on the biggest stage, the national TV game on ABC on Saturday night. You know these guys are going to be playing for their future paychecks. They're going to be playing to impress NFL executives, to impress future potential employers and scouts. And, you know, Indiana doesn't have a lot of those types of guys, guys that are going to be hoping to get somewhere into that first round of the NFL draft, where Ohio State has a number of them. And when you give them an opportunity to showcase what their skills are, a lot of times they'll be ready to go. The other thing is, around campus, it's probably going to be kind of crazy on Saturday. For Indiana playing at home, they might get a little caught up in that. For Ohio State, they can be pretty much secluded in a hotel, might not even be in Bloomington. They might be staying somewhere outside of Bloomington and avoiding all of the commotion around Indiana all day long until that 7:30 kickoff. So by the time Ohio State shows up, they are 100% uber-focused, ready to go. I'm just not sure the national spotlight plays well for Indiana. I think it actually, in this case, might favor Ohio State. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, your thoughts. Last night, great NBA finish between the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics. Game went into two overtimes before the Knicks finally prevailed over Boston. Had a chance to watch the end of that game, and then made a little cash last night. Very little. You know what I bet? I bet Denver with the 6 points. Remember, Caleb, we talked about this yesterday, and I said, is there something I'm missing? Because it looks like Denver's a lock, getting 6 points on the road at Phoenix. I took the bet. You know how much I collected last night? Man, oh man, don't ask me for a McDouble because I barely got enough to cover it. But I bet a whopping $3 on the game last night just because I had to have some action. I'm an action junkie, but all of $3 bet on the game and I won. So I feel pretty good. It really is more just your ego more than it is the bank account, because with what I bet on a game, I'm not going to get rich, but the best part, I'm not going to go broke. And I think that's the way gambling should be. It should be something that's fun, that kind of inspires you, something you can enjoy, something that gives you a good feeling when you win. But you shouldn't be hurting, and you shouldn't be worrying about paying a bill if you don't. So my whopping $3 bet, if you're there with me, congratulations. 46862, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions. This whole Ben Simmons thing continues to linger in Philadelphia. Now there's an update that Ben Simmons showed up for an individual workout, but did not work out. Instead, apparently he's dealing with a back issue. Not sure if we buy that story, but the Philadelphia medical staff did treat Ben Simmons for his back. And then they apparently cleared him to go ahead to his workout, which he then did not participate in. And so once again, Ben Simmons will be out of the Philadelphia lineup for the foreseeable future. He will not play the next game for the Sixers. That means he'll miss game number two. You know, to me, Caleb, when we become athletes and we define ourselves as athletes, or a guy like Ben Simmons becomes a professional athlete, there is a certain kind of code of conduct or a code of being a, quote, athlete that everyone needs to follow. And it never is really written down. It's just understood in sports in general that there are certain things you do as an athlete that are considered the norm, that you don't break from. And one, to me, is respect your coaches, which I think is missing in all of sports today. I think there's a lot of lack of respect for coaches, and to be quite honest, a lot of that comes from parents. But I think also a lack of respect for officials who are doing the best they can. But you understand, it's a part-time job that's very difficult to keep up with. They aren't going to get every call right. And occasionally they'll make a call that might hurt your team. But these are guys that are willing to go out there, sometimes in awful conditions, just for the good of the sport, for a small paycheck. And it's not because of the money that most of them are doing it. It's because of the love of the sport and the love of the kids. And you should never be one that jumps up and constantly harasses officials and complains. Whether it's a football game, whether it's a basketball game, don't be part of that.
I was going to say, if it's bad for coaches, I mean, how bad is it for officials? I mean, it's nasty out there.
I mean, it comes down to just something that's missing in our society in general. It's just that we don't have enough respect for others. Whether they have an opinion that's different than ours, whether they don't look like we want them to look, or whether they have preferences that we don't align with, it seems like we don't respect other people in their position enough, and we certainly don't respect authority enough. But where Ben Simmons really broke down on the code of being an athlete is not just the respect for his employer, the respect for his coach, but the big one to me is what you owe to your teammates. Because when you're an athlete and you participate in a team sport, you owe your teammates 100% of yourself when you're actually participating in that sport with said teammates. And I feel like everybody in professional sports understands that there are contract negotiations, there are money issues, there are business side, there is a business side of what you do. And in most cases, professional athletes understand that amongst themselves. But the one thing they don't accept is a guy that makes $600,000 a year accepting that the guy that makes $30 million a year won't show up, won't practice, won't be part of the team. And that's where I think Ben Simmons has completely blown this. Is the people that he's hurting right now are those teammates and the culture in the locker room. Are you going to tell me that guys that are on minimum contracts, and I know $600,000 is a lot of money to you and me, but in the NBA, that's like minimum wage. $600,000, maybe $1 million, $1.5 million. Guys that are not making the big money, and they're sitting here looking at a guy who's collecting paychecks that total $30 million a year, and he won't do the drills they're expected to do, and he won't show up to practice when they're expected to show up. You tell me that in that locker room, that doesn't cause division, that isn't going to be something that guys are going to talk about and resent, and even if he comes back, it's not going to work. I mean, it's over in Philadelphia, and quite honestly, if I'm another NBA team, I think long and hard before I consider bringing in a guy who has never shown a willingness to put in the work away from the court, away from his team. His skill set is no different than it used to be. In some ways, I look at Ben Simmons, and I think you can make a comparison to Jamarcus Russell. I mean, it's like the offseason, what does he do? I mean, we don't see him doing a lot of work. We don't see him improving his skills.
He's more in shape than Jamarcus Russell was.
See, but that's the thing. That's why we judge Russell, and we judge him so negatively, is because he had a weight issue. When he didn't work out, he gained weight. Now, Ben Simmons didn't gain weight, but what has Ben Simmons done to make himself a better basketball player? Still can't shoot threes. Just to me, I feel like I'm done with the whole thing, because once you kind of break that code and And it's about you, it's about the money, it's about the business, and it's no longer about the game or the sport. I'm like, okay, call yourself a professional, but don't call yourself a professional athlete.
This could take a while. Daryl Morey said, quote, "This could take 4 years," end quote, on how long the Ben Simmons saga could last.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to talk about it for 4 years, so you've got that part to look forward to. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Every week at this time on Thursday, we introduce to you a brand new edition of our High School Football Picks of the Week presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. It's sectional time, and it's only class 1A through 4A because 5A and 6A have a bye week. So I thought, okay, it's the perfect time. Let's do it right now. Let's give you our High School Football Picks of the Week coming your way in 3, 2, 1.
Now, the High School Football Picks of the Week, presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM.
On to the postseason we go. It's time for another edition of the High School Football Picks of the Week, postseason sectional style. Let's start with the small boys in Class 1A. Man, there's some great games on the slate this Friday, starting with Northfield heading to Fremont. Northfield's won 6 of their last 7 games. They've done it with an efficient offense and a stingy defense. 6-3 on the season against 3-6 Fremont. I'm going to say Northfield on the road gets the win, 35-13 over Fremont.
Inside that man's body is a little child calling out for help.
It's a big-time matchup in Turtletown as Cherubusco welcomes Adams Central, 2 state-ranked teams with the Flying Jets 8-1 and the Eagles 7-2. Adams Central's lone loss came to Eastside by 2 points. They're that close to being an undefeated team starting postseason play. I like Adams Central because they remind me so much of what we saw with South Adams a year ago. A senior class that has played for 3 years together, and they just seem to be on a mission. I don't know if Cherubusco is going to be good enough to beat them. Cherubusco, to me, may be still a year away. So I've got Adams Central to win it on the road, 41-14.
Don't you ever get tired of being wrong?
In sectional 43, the South Adams Starfires take their 7-2 record on the road to face Madison Grant. You know how much I know about Madison Grant? Yeah, not very much. All I know is that on the season, they're averaging 20.9 points per game while giving up 29.6. That's enough for me to say that South Adams goes to Madison Grant and wins it over the Argyles, 35-13.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
In Class 2A, the Bluffton Tigers visit undefeated Eastside. We've been so impressed with the Eastside Blazers and Laban Davis, and I think they'll impress to start tournament play. They're going to put up 40 points, Bluffton 14.
Do you know how crazy that sounds?
The Central Noble Cougars never got their offense going in tough conditions at Eastside a couple of weeks ago. We were there to see it, but they rebounded well and won last week, and now they welcome a Whitco team into Central Noble to take on the Cougars, and this one belongs to Central Noble, 41-7.
That's crazy talk.
Bishop Lewis can't get caught looking ahead. Yes, it's easy to maybe not respect a Fairfield opponent that comes in with a 4-4 record, but it's a team that was undefeated a year ago. If Lewis comes out and plays to their potential, this won't be close. The only chance Fairfield has is if Lewis gets caught taking Fairfield for granted. I don't think it happens. Too many weapons for the Bishop Lewis Knights, and they've been down this road before. They know it's win and move on. Lose, and your season's over. So Bishop Lewis will come out motivated and defeat Fairfield 56-14.
You're pretty good.
Prairie Heights will be at Woodland. I like the Warriors. 27, Prairie Heights, 20.
You are one pathetic loser.
In Class 3A, the Norwell Knights, 8-1 on the season, will take the trip down to Maconaqua. The Knights have been so solid offensively and especially defensively this year with just a lone loss to the Leo Lions. They won't get loss number 2 this week. They'll defeat Maconaqua 35-7.
You're a smart man.
It's a winless Northwestern team visiting a 1-win Concordia team. But Concordia plays in the SAC. That kind of toughens you up for a 3A sectional matchup. And Concordia will be too much for Northwestern. Cadets win it 28-7.
Anybody care what this guy thinks?
No!
Oak Hill has a gaudy 7-2 record against Belmont, just 1-8. But Oak Hill, who have they played? That's going to be the question asked throughout this sectional 27 bracket. Despite an improving Belmont Belmont squad, I still have to give the advantage to Oak Hill. They'll beat the Braves 41-14.
I thought I told you to get lost.
Casey Coltman takes the Heritage Patriots on the road to Peru. The Tigers have won five straight games after starting the season 1-2, and no one in that stretch has scored more than 20 points against them. On the season, they're allowing just 17.8 points per game. That despite allowing Tippecanoe Valley, an undefeated 3A squad, 45 points. I don't count out the Heritage Patriots' chances in this one, but I also don't count on the Heritage Patriots to win the game. I've got Peru 34, Heritage 14.
Let's say the average person uses 10% of their brain. How much do you use? 1.5%.
Moving on to Class 4A, where DeKalb will be on the road at Wawasee. I'm going to give Wawasee a home victory over the DeKalb Barons 34-27.
Is she all there? Like, mentally?
The Angola Hornets will take a trip into Columbia City to take on the Eagles. I think schedule strength will play into this one. Columbia City, part of the NE8. Angola, part of the NECC. And I've got the advantage going to the Columbia City Eagles. They'll beat the Hornets 42-14.
You were literally too stupid to insult.
Finally, it's the game of the week on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM as the Leo Lions invade East Noble to take on the Knights. Round 2. Round 1 went to Leo in a terrific game. The Knights battled back, scoring three straight touchdowns to tie up the game at 32 points apiece after they were down by 20. Meanwhile, for Leo, they responded like champions do. After East Noble had all the momentum, had the home crowd going crazy, and a 32-32 game, Leo marched right down the field, scored, and converted a two-point try to take a 40-32 win against the East Noble Knights. Both teams will have to make some adjustments, but I think Leo is just physically too tough to stop. You could put 9 in the box, but I'm still not sure you can stop this running attack of the Leo Lions. For that reason, I say Leo takes round 2, but a little different score. Lions 27, Knights 20.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid?
And those are your high school football picks of the week.
Well, Lordy, freaking God!
Presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic on Fort Wayne Sports Station. 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM.
Mastodons just a couple of weeks away from starting their season. In fact, next Tuesday, we start the Mastodons Coaches Show every Tuesday, 6 o'clock, right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Just went looked out the back porch, and I think if you look real quick in the next 24 to 48 hours, you will see the trees and the leaves change colors, and then you will see the leaves fall off the trees, and that will be fall. It will all happen like in the next 24 to 48 hours. Our trees are all green, or at least they have been, and all of a sudden now I'm seeing some color in the trees, but with the wind, colder temperatures, I don't think fall's going to last all that long. All right, let's talk fall football. We've got a guest on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline for the Turtle Gazette. Dylan Sin covers a little bit of everything when it comes to college football. Indiana, Purdue, Notre Dame. This week he's got the Fighting Irish versus USC. So let's focus on Notre Dame. When you talk about the Irish, Dylan, do they belong, if they win out, do they belong in the conversation for the college football playoff?
Well, of course, that's the question on everyone's mind right now. But I do wonder, the problem is that there's so many factors that need to go into that. Who loses, who's undefeated, how Notre Dame looks in those games. Do they have a quarterback that has kind of taken over that starting job? I doubt that winning out would be enough at this point, just because that means that Notre Dame and Cincinnati would both get in, which seems very, very unlikely to me. But obviously, if that kind of chaos that we've seen at the top continues, and maybe there's a chance. But I think Notre Dame is probably a pretty extreme long shot right now.
I think the biggest thing for Notre Dame is their schedule is questioned, and they haven't really won the style points. They haven't really dominated anybody and looked good doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. And of course, that could change. They could go on a run like they did at the end of 2019 when they lost to Michigan and then reeled off 5 wins in a row to end the season by an average of about 28 points. That's a possibility, but that season they had a veteran quarterback who kind of came into his own, and this year there's not really any sign yet they have that kind of player who can really lead the team in that way. So we'll have to see whether that changes in the coming weeks.
Let's be honest. If Notre Dame played in the SEC, this would be what, a 3 or 4 loss team at best?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you feel about some of the teams in the SEC, right? Obviously, we don't know exactly how good some of them are. It seems that Georgia is very, very good. Obviously, Alabama seems to be pretty good, although again, I said this to a lot of people. There have been two games this year where Alabama just has gotten pushed around in a way we have not seen a lot. So, yeah, it seems likely that Notre Dame would probably have a few more losses in the SEC than it would if it played the schedule that it has this year. But it's not like its schedule is a bunch of cupcakes. They are playing, I believe, 10 games against Power 5 opponents. There's a number of good teams in the SEC, but how good, we're still trying to figure that out.
USC has struggled defensively, especially against some better opponents, and I think that's an opportunity for Notre Dame to take advantage of, but that's the big question mark about Notre Dame. How good is this offense? What do you think about the matchup of USC's defense against Notre Dame's offense?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. We really don't know how good this Notre Dame offense is. They against Virginia Tech, it kind of made things even more unclear because they played two different quarterbacks, both of whom had good moments and bad moments. They were able to run the ball a little bit better, actually much better, when Tyler Buchner was in the game than when Jack Cohn is. But now Jack Cohn is back to playing, and it's unclear whether they're able to run the ball at all when he's in the game. So I do like the matchup with USC's defense just because, as you said, USC's defense has not been particularly good against good teams this year. They gave up almost 500 yards of total offense against Utah last week and were down 35-10 at one point in that game. So this is not a formidable Trojan defense, but the question is whether Notre Dame has the kind of playmaking ability to and offensive line play to be able to exploit that.
What is the future of quarterback for Notre Dame? You talked about the fact they've been rotating some quarterbacks. What is Brian Kelly's plan coming up this Saturday and maybe for the future as far as the quarterback position? Does he hope somebody maybe steps up and takes over and use Buchner in maybe some unique situations? Is it still going to be a rotation? How do they decide who plays and how often?
Yeah, I mean, the plan right now is that Jack Cohn is going to be the starter and Tyler Buchner is going to play. Cohn has been the starter all year, even though he has been benched in each of the last two games. So what we've seen is that Brian Kelly believes that he is their best option to win, but he has not hesitated to take Jack Cohn out when he feels like the team needs a spark. And Tyler Buchner showed he could provide that spark against Virginia Tech, but he also showed that he is still a young quarterback. There were some reads that he missed. There were some plays that really hurt his team, and those are the plays that a freshman is going to make. So right now, Brian Kelly feels that Jack Cohn, with his experience, gives them the best chance to win. And the question is whether he can avoid sacks. He was able to do it on the last two drives against the Hokies when he led Notre Dame to a pair of scoring drives and the victory. Whether that happens against USC remains to be seen, because it seems like Notre Dame, or Virginia Tech, I should say, was kind of in a little bit of a prevent defense. So we'll have to see whether that carries over into this game against USC.
Kind of an odd team with USC, because if you look at what they've done home and away, they've lost their last three home games, but they've dominated their last two road games. Now they come into Notre Dame Stadium. As far as offensively, what does Notre Dame have to be prepared for with this USC offense?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing, as just about everyone knows, is that wide receiver Drake London for USC is one of the best wide receivers in the country. Notre Dame will almost certainly not put just one player on him. They'll probably try some kind of bracket coverage with either Kyle Hamilton or Houston Griffith over the top, helping out a corner on London, because he's kind of been the lodestar of this offense for USC all season. But they can also run the ball a little bit. Deontay Ingram averages almost 6 yards a carry. And they have several other backs behind him as well. So there's a reason that Stephen Carr, the IU running back, transferred out, because he felt like he wasn't going to get a ton of carries. It's because USC's backfield depth is very, very good. So they have a balanced offense. The defense has been much more questionable this season than the offense.
A game that on paper Notre Dame should win. Who do you like, Dylan?
I do like Notre Dame. I think it's going to be significantly closer than a lot of people think. I do think USC will be in this game to the end. I could see something like the 2020 game where Notre Dame, or the 2019 game, I should say, where Notre Dame was ahead most of the game and USC scored a late touchdown to make it, I believe, a 30-27 victory. I could see something like that, and I think Notre Dame comes out motivated after losing their last game at home to get a new home winning streak started.
Appreciate it as always, Dylan. Enjoy it. We'll look forward to your coverage in the Journal Gazette. And, of course, follow Dylan Sin on Twitter as well. Thanks, Dylan.
Absolutely, Brett. Always glad to do it.
That is Dylan Sin joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Notre Dame USC under the lights, Notre Dame Stadium this Saturday night. Of course, we've got your radio coverage right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Also coming up on Saturday, we've got Purdue versus Wisconsin. That will be starting at 2 o'clock with the pregame. 3 o'clock will be the kickoff. And then right after the Purdue-Wisconsin coverage, we'll have full coverage of Notre Dame-USC Saturday night. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Questions, comments, suggestions. We'll check the text and we'll check in with Parkview Sports Medicine Director Tommy Schegler when we return on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. If you've got questions, comments, or suggestions, fire away on our Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Of course, moments ago, you had a chance to hear my picks of the high school football picks of the week. And now we turn to our buddy from Parkview Sports Medicine, Director Tommy Schegler. He'll give us his thoughts on what to expect week one of sectional play around the state of Indiana. Tommy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rumpy. How are you today?
Doing well. Ready for some postseason football. In fact, the weather has kind of cooperated. This is more postseason-like now. Cold, windy, maybe a little bit of rain at times. This is what I remember doing postseason games over all the years, is that it's never as nice in the postseason as it was during the regular season. And so it's a different challenge for teams, and I think it could play into who wins, who loses. I think weather was a big factor last week when Snyder beat Lures. I think the wet surface, the muddy conditions, I think that played right into the power running game of Snyder. Big championship last week. Carroll, Snyder, and Lures all share an SAC title.
Yeah, pretty cool that it ended up that way. I know they're disappointing, obviously, for Lures fans as they were hoping to grab sole possession of that thing. But, I think it shows the balance in the conference, and it shows how tough it is to win the conference that can come right down to the last week. And even if you've been somewhat dominant and had a great season throughout the course of the year, you can still get caught in that last game and have it all slip away. But, you know, at least they still got a share being Lures because they did have a fantastic season. And, and Carroll and Snyder did the same. So I think they're all deserving of a share of it.
Absolutely. And I think now Lures may be motivated by that loss. You know, sometimes losses aren't the worst thing. I mean, you lose, you don't get the SAC title by yourself, but you're still considered an SAC champion. You just share it with two other teams. So you at least have that check mark, and now you move to the postseason, and maybe the loss pays off. Maybe you had some things now that you can focus on and work on as you move through the two-way playoffs, where I think Lures is going to be a favorite, but we'll find out from you as we get there. We're going to start with one key 1A matchup that we have in our area tomorrow night. I don't like the fact that we have the two best teams from a sectional playing to start it off, and one team season will be done after, you know, to me, you play a regular season to kind of earn a better draw in the postseason. That's the way I think it should be. I think it should be rewarded when you have a good season. But unfortunately, Adams Central and Cherubusco's good seasons were rewarded by scheduling each other in round one of the sectional 44 bracket class 1A. This could be a heck of a game up in Turtletown, but boy, it is so hard to pick against the Flying Jets with what they've done this year.
I agree with that. I agree with everything that you said. It actually just came up in a conversation that I was having with some people in some stands a couple Friday nights ago. My wife was sitting next to me and I was talking about my frustration with the way the playoffs are, and she was like, really? That's the way they do it? So I think even for people who, you know, don't follow it as closely as maybe you and I do, you know, the idea that, first of all, everybody makes it, which is not necessarily the way they do it in other states. I can argue that one way or another. But then definitely at least to not have the regular season not mean anything and not get any reward is seems – It seems very silly to me. But I agree with you. This is going to be a good game. Turtletown is a very tough place to have to go on the road, especially in a playoff situation. And Cherubusco comes in hot, winners of five after the loss to Eastside. Only 12 points allowed and four shutouts since the Eastside loss. So that defense is playing really good for Busco. Adams Central does have a lot that they're bringing up as their weapons. But I'm going with the upset special of the week right off the bat, Rumpy. I'm going with Busco.
Whoa, huge news right off the top. Busco over Adams Central. I mean, that's a big, bold pick. I got Adams Central to go a long way in this tournament. I also have Adams Central to win this game. But that is a bold upset special of the week.
Makes me feel better about
let's go to 2A, where we have Bishop Luers at home against Fairfield. Now remember, this was a Fairfield team that went undefeated last year, 4-4 this season. Luers can't look past anybody, but even if they do, they might still win football games.
Yeah, all that is very cute, but this is going to be a huge Luers win, and Luers will win in blowout fashion for the next several rounds. It's going to be a while before they see another good game.
Now, come on. They've got Eastside coming up in a couple of weeks. You don't think Eastside could give them a battle if they meet in a sectional championship?
I mean, I think that it will be a battle for a while, and I don't want to disrespect Eastside, but I do think that even a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year, it may have been 2 years ago, Eastside had another really, really good team, and when they run up against a program like Luers, they usually has a significant athletic advantage, and then they've been so battle tested with going through the SAC that I just think that I would still favor Luers by two touchdowns.
Even with the state championship runner up team last year when these two met in the sectional, it was 56-49 Luers over Eastside. So keep that in mind. A lot closer than you might think, Tommy. We'll see what happens should they get there. What about Eastside? They've got Bluffton calling on the Eastside Blazers. Eastside riding that 9-0 record against a Bluffton team that's kind of been up and down, a little tough to predict this year.
Yeah, this one will be another blowout. Eastside is just too good, and they will have no problem. I mean, they're just the margin of victory is at 30 points a game for these guys, so blowouts is where they live, and this will be another one for them.
I don't think Norwell has any problem with Mechaniqua. Mechaniqua 2-5 on the year. Norwell 8-1, the only loss in that game to Leo. You know, the Knights, you got to give them a lot of credit. Did not expect them to keep this kind of thing going. Last year, they surprised us, but we were impressed. This year, they've really surprised us, and maybe we're even more impressed with what they've done, both offensively, but especially defensively.
Yeah, they've been great defensively. You know, they're only giving up about 10 points a game. They beat Mequonicqua handily last year in the sectional by 42. I think this team's actually a little bit better than that one was last year, so I think this one will be all Norwell.
Of course, when you get to the postseason, because the SAC doesn't have non-conference games, it's very tough to gauge the strength of the conference against other opponents. We start to see it when we get into the postseason, and one of those matchups is going to be Concordia with just one win in the SAC this year, hosting Northwestern. It's been a tough year for Northwestern, but I think this also will show us maybe a little bit of how tough life can be in the SAC.
100%. I mean, I think Concordia definitely wins this game. Concordia is, you know, they've been battling a lot of things internally this year, from injuries to, obviously, there's always a transition whenever you have a new coaching staff. So, you know, they got a lot going on in that program, but you're right. They've been through the whole SAC gauntlet, and now they finally are going to be able to get some success for a couple weeks here. To try to make a little bit of a run in the playoffs. So I definitely think that they win in this one.
The other side of the bracket in 3A has Oak Hill 7-2, at Belmont 1-8. Braves have started to play better football of late. It seems like finally things are moving forward for the Belmont Braves. But Oak Hill is 7-2 for a reason. They've got a good football team. Maybe don't have quite the competition that Belmont faces week in, week out in the NE8. but I don't know if that evens it up enough. What do you expect between Oak Hill and Belmont?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that Belmont has the players at this point, and I don't see them being successful in this game. I think the season ends against Oak Hill.
Can Heritage compete on the road against a 6-2 Peru team?
I think for a little bit, yeah. I mean, I think that they haven't played that bad as of late. They've outscored their opponents by 100 points in the last four games. So Kolkman's got them playing well headed into the postseason. I think they hang with Peru for a while. I do think that's a really long road trip, which I'm always thoughtful of when it comes to high school teams. So I think Peru wins it, but I think it's a close game.
We go to Class 4A. Let's start Sectional 20 before we get to the big one that we'll be covering tomorrow night. Let's start with this Marion at Wayne game, because Sherwood Haydock has a Wayne General squad. They've got a terrific running back. They're 2-7 after their SAC schedule against a 4-4 Marion team. I like Wayne.
Well, Wayne's at home, and that'll be a big factor. I mean, you got a Giants team that has won two sectional titles in the last 3 years, but most of those players have filtered out, and it's probably not as strong of a team this year. I think that this would be an upset special of the week, at least a mild one, if Wayne can pull off the victory. But I see where you're coming from there. It goes back to that whole difference in who you're playing. I mean, Wayne has gone through the SAC. They've seen a lot of really tough tests, and they've been able to have that experience and now bring that into Marion. So I will tentatively agree with you on Wayne.
That was a lot of confidence behind that. I could tell how much confidence you have when you agree with me. And I don't know if that's saying something. Southside will be on the road. They go down to Delta. Going to be a tough test for the Archers.
Yeah, I think that, unfortunately, that probably finishes up the season. I mean, Delta's not overwhelmingly powerful at just 4-5 on the year, but they are at home. But they're a team that started out really hot. They started out 3-0, and they're only 1-5 in their last six games. So could Wayne make it close for a little while? Sure, but Southside. But I just don't think it's South has the players, and I think they fall in this one.
Moving to Sectional 19, Angola. It's been a tough year for the Hornets. They'll be at Columbia City. Typical year for the Eagles. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat, but they still can't quite get over that hump when they start facing the Leo, the East Nobles, and the New Havens.
Agreed. It's they're not there as a program, but they're significantly ahead of where this Angola team is this year. I saw that Angola team play, and they are they've got a lot of problems. So I think this one's Columbia City.
On the other side of the bracket, the DeKalb Barons have one win on the year, but they get to go to Wawa C, who also has just one win on the year. Who do you like to advance?
I think that the Wawa C offense has really, really struggled all year long. They don't put up many points, only 88 all year long. So that's tough. They are at home. But I think that the Cavs a little bit better, and they have a few more athletes, so I will go with the Cavs.
Here comes the big one. It's the rematch between the Leo Lions and the East Noble Knights. I just wonder if you've got the kahunas to be able to pick against Leo in this one. I doubt it. I know you too well. But
yeah, I'm in a tough spot on the Leo side.
I know, say, Tommy, you're going to sit in those stands. I don't know if you've got a choice here on who you pick, but a 9-0 Leo team, a 6-2 East Noble team. I know who you're probably going to pick, but tell me why you think East Noble or Leo can win this game twice or beat this opponent twice in the same season. What gives Leo the advantage in the rematch?
I'm not sure that I have a strong argument for what gives them the advantage other than what gave them the advantage in the first meeting. I will say this, that first meeting was, if you weren't at the game, it was hard to really be able to communicate because the final score was not indicative of what could have happened in that game. And I don't mean that meaning that Leo should have won by three touchdowns. I really think that East Noble should have won that game by at least a touchdown. I mean, they turned the ball over a couple of key times in the first half that really allowed Leo to get a lead. I believe a 20-point lead at the half, but they completely dominated the second half. I mean, Leo had nothing until that one last drive. So this is a coin flip game at best. I am worried that this could be an upset for the Lions. I'm picking the Lions because I'm a Lion, and I'm going with it because I'm a fan in this instance. But this is going to be a slugfest, and in order for Leo to win, they've got to go back to establishing the line of scrimmage and just deciding that they can push East Noble around. They do have the size advantage up front, and it's their strength, and they've got to be able to stop the perimeter attack on offense because on the perimeter, Leo struggles defensively. So if they can make those adjustments and they can push East Noble around with the size advantage they have, then I think they can get out of there with another win. But it could go either way.
Statistically, it is amazing. I looked at some of these stats earlier today, and Leo has three running backs that all average better than 10 yards per carry. Just amazing what they're able to put up statistically. And that front line probably could go right up to Angola and line up on Saturdays for trying and fit right in.
Yes,
a beast.
We're going to take one of those in Morgantown, though.
What's the latest with Parkview Sports Medicine, Tommy?
We're just continuing to tell people about our PSM Performance Edge program. It's the best athletic year-round development program in town and the best facilities in town with the most highly certified team in town. Come in for a free consultation and a free evaluation with your athlete. Learn about the program. You can do so by going to parkviewsportsmedicine.com/performance or giving us a call at 266-4007.
Might need you as a guest appearance on the pregame show tomorrow up there since you'll be around.
Are you going to be there?
We will be there. That's our game.
Well, maybe I will stop by.
A special Tommy Shegler appearance. Hey, have a good one, Tommy. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
That is Tommy Shegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. We'll be back. Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch. Coming up tomorrow, big day here on the radio station. We are going to start sectional play up at East Noble for the Leo Lions and the East Noble Knights, taking the whole gang up to Kendallville. We'll have the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show starting things off at 6 o'clock. Jim, Shannon, and Dute previewing the Knights sectional football action. And then Shannon and I have the call from East Noble. It should be a heck of a football game. And afterwards, we'll be at the Kendallville Pizza Hut. We invite you to stop out if you're at the game. Have some pizza with us for the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show. We'll be on the air up until 11 o'clock tomorrow night. All your scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, and more right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Coming up next, High School Football Coaches Show. Justin Kenny, Armed and Dangerous, getting ready to bring you the sectional edition of the Coaches Show with the ever-elusive Paul Sade making an appearance on the show tonight. Also, Luke Amstutz from East Noble. And Kyle Nedenrep is also going to join the show from the Indy Star. Covers high school sports, not only central Indiana, but throughout the state. So Kyle Nedenrep will join Justin as well. Thanks to our guests, Kevin Bowen, Dylan Sin, and Tommy Shegler. We'll be back tomorrow with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.